That's all right. All right, so we're recording. So just remember, everything you say is being recorded for posterity. All right. Well, we are looking at chapter 12 of 1 Corinthians. This is again, this is one of those passages that's is kind of interesting to go through and tough to deal with at times. So let's read the first 11 verses. I'm prepared if we get past that to go all the way into the rest of the passage, but let's start with what we have, and we'll recap a little bit of what we've talked about last week and then try to dig a little deeper. So we're again, remember, again, in this particular part of this book, Paul is answering questions that specifically the church in Corinth has asked him. And these are issues that he's dealing with specifically for them. So there are going to be, as an example, there are at least three different passages that talk about spiritual gifts, Romans, Ephesians, Corinthians. The gifts are listed. They're not all inclusive. They're specific issues with each passage and why they're being taught about. And we do believe that most scholars believe that there are more gifts than what we what are perhaps even listed. And we'll try to get as we get into the rest of the chapter from verse 12 on, we'll be able to discuss that a little more and maybe dissect it a little more. But we're going to pick it up in chapter 12, verse 1, and read through verse 11, and we'll try to deal with that the rest of that today. So now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be ignorant. You know that when you were pagans, somehow or other, you were influenced and led astray to mute idols. Therefore, I tell you that no one who is speaking by the Spirit of God says, Jesus be cursed. No one can say Jesus is Lord except by the Holy Spirit. Now, there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of workings, but the same God works all of them in all men. Now, to each one is the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To a one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, to another, the message of knowledge by the means of the same Spirit, to another, faith by the same Spirit, to another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit, to another miraculous powers, to another prophecy, to another distinguishing between spirits, to another speaking in different kinds of tongues, and to still another interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit. He gives them to each one just as he determines. Well, first of all, you can see that this idea of the same Spirit we're identifying, it all comes from God. It all comes from the Holy Spirit. So even though there are many different gifts, it all comes from one particular source. And notice that they are given to everyone, not just to some. And it's given for the purpose of the common good. It's not given for just for my benefit, you know, that I have the gift or that you have the gift, whatever those gifts might be. No, they're in fact, in I believe it's six times. At least in this 11 verses, we hear the word same over and over again. So not all have the same gifts, but all have the same Spirit who gives the gifts. So we depend upon the same God. The source of all gifts is God. The sphere of administering the gifts comes from God. The energy to use the gift comes from God. Then why is it that we try to glorify men over having certain gifts? You ever wondered that? We look and go, oh man, they have the gift of whatever, and we think, oh, they've been incredibly blessed. Well, just remember, everybody has a gift. So the issue is to realize that the gifts were given by God. So the glory should not go to men just because somebody has some wonderful gift, you know, that we like and we get excited about. But no, we need to understand that they all come freely from the gift of the Holy Spirit. Paul talks about the fact that spiritual gifts are given from three different angles, if you will. He said they're bestowed freely by the Spirit's grace. they're intended to use in a Christ-like attitude of servanthood, which really starts to make you wonder about some people that have certain gifts and want to brag about them. You know, they're not given to you to brag. They're given to you to benefit the church. And then the results of God's powerful working in the person's life is what happens. And they're employed, he uses the term manifestations to stress that all Corinthian Christians have at least one such gift, and it's all to be used for the mutual edification of everyone. In fact, it reminds me a little bit of Ephesians 4, and we'll get into this more as we get into verses 12 and following, but just to remind you what it says in Ephesians 4, 11 through 13, it says, "It is he," that is Christ and the Holy Spirit, "who gave some to be apostles, some to be prophets, some to be evangelists, some to be pastors and teachers, to prepare God's people for works of service, so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith, in the knowledge of the Son of God, and become mature, attaining to the whole measure of fullness of Christ."
Eval?
Yeah.
I got a question regarding the gift of tongues.
And,
you know, you talk about all these other gifts being service and for the manifestation of the body, the community. And the gift of tongues seems to be a much more individualized gift. Now, at least I'm not that familiar with it. That's probably why. But I didn't grow up in a church that really, that tongues was something that was, you know,
church.
Go ahead, Dan.
Okay. For instance, in my earlier days, it was at the Assemblies of God in St. Clair Shores. And when someone speaks in tongues in the church, then another one would interpret what that person is saying. It edifies the church. Whatever that message is, and that's what it's for, to edify and build the church during that service, done according to the Holy Spirit. It's very powerful.
Mm-hmm. I think one of the things you have to realize,
the message of what the pastor is talking about during that time.
Yeah, it should be an encouragement, a benefit to the church. One of the things that also the tongues was for the benefit of the Jewish people.
And yes,
prophetically, we knew that it's told in the Old Testament that this would be a sign that their people, their young people would dream dreams, see visions. They would speak in different tongues, and it would be assigned to the Jewish people. So you've got that going on. You've got the fact that it's there to edify the believers. But years ago, I read a book and I was really fascinated with it. In fact, I actually talked to a church for a short time. They decided I wasn't a good fit for them. But one of the things I did is I read a book called Word and Power. And it takes, I think, the best of the non-charismatic teachings and combines it with the power of understanding the gifts that God gives and how to use them for his benefit and his glory and the advancement of his kingdom. And one of the things that they would practice is that they would not allow people to speak in tongues in the church service unless there was someone that could interpret them.
Well, that was my question. Then listen, I knew that Dan would be able to, give us some background.
I bring up the Assemblies of God one only because I had the interpretation of that tongue in St. Clair Shores. And what was unusual about it is the lady was crying and was kind of all over the place. And I, for a minute, I didn't think it was real. And then the Lord gave it to me. I was afraid to say anything, and someone else said exactly what the Lord dropped into my heart. It's just when you see it in the process and you see it in working, it's beautiful. And here I was, because I was more controlled and I felt this was uncontrolled. And boy, did I get a lesson that day. I had the interpretation and exactly someone else spoke it and I was to speak it. And I just, it was a learning experience that day.
Isn't it interesting when God does that to us? He points out, you know, he says, he drops in your lap, whatever it might be. And then you don't do it. And suddenly you go, I should have. What was I thinking? Why could I not?
The gifts also, when you're running the gifts, you get a sense of, I don't want to say power, but you're a vessel. I'm not any better than anybody else. In fact, you're all better than I am. But when you're running the gifts through a certain course of time, I can see how men get off track and build a ministry upon those gifts, because they're not. They're from the Lord. They're from the Holy Spirit. Nothing that I ever did or moved, God used them because it was for other people, not for Dan Morley.
Yeah.
Well, it almost, to both of your points, it seems like if someone's speaking in tongues, you have to have somebody, for it to be meaningful to the community, you have to have someone else that's explaining.
You can interpret them, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's that. I've been in churches where we have, it's expressed and said, unless there's an interpreter, we don't want to, you know, we don't need to interrupt the service for that unless there's someone that can do that.
Okay. Makes sense.
So that's an important thing. Remember, the benefit of gifts is not for the individual, but for the corporate, for the church. Now, when we get into chapter 13, you'll notice that it says, though I speak with the tongues of men and of angels and have not love. That's the very first verse in 13. And there, and I'm not going to disagree with it, because I don't know, but some people have said that sometimes the language that is being spoken could be a human language. Some say it could be a heavenly language, an angel language, if you will. I don't know. I've never experienced tongues myself, so I can't speak to the experience. What I do know is that God gives everyone a gift, but that God doesn't give everyone the same gift.
Bell, do you
nothing
remember?
You would ever understand.
Probably not. It's, Tom?
Yeah, do you remember? I don't remember his name, but it was early on in when I first started going to Bible study at Kensington, we had a leader. He was a ordained minister, and during one of our Bible study sessions, he started speaking in tongues.
Well, I don't remember that.
Were you remember that, Mike?
No, I don't.
Denny?
No, I don't.
He started a church, like the Oak Church or something, in Rochester.
No, oh, I remember the gentleman. I don't remember the incident. Yeah.
Well, he was talking about it, and then I don't want to say it was a demonstration of it, but it was something akin to that.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yep. Dan, are you saying something?
Paul. I don't want to take this off the course, but we're on.
Why
the
not? Come on.
You know we're going to go down this road, whether you want to or not. We're going to drag you down it.
Basically, how you get these gifts is you're speaking in tongues, number one. Usually, not that you can't get these gifts without speaking in tongues, but for instance, let's take the word of knowledge. A word of knowledge is where there's Can I give you examples, or should
Sure.
we wait, Bell?
No, you can go ahead.
I had something in the late 80s after I was going through the Pentecostal school called Bob Evans Ministry. It's got nothing to do with Bob Evans. But as I was driving, the Lord, and praying in the spirit, the Lord would drop something to go to this Bob Evans. So normally I would walk in, sit down at the bar area, and there would be someone that the Lord would drop a word of wisdom to bring something up in that gentleman's heart. I can think of one event in Lima, Craig Geiger. I had a word of knowledge to stop into that Bob Evans. Craig Geiger was a Mennonite that was going back into Judaism, but he was a Christian Jew. And I was to speak about those things and brought up Isaiah 53 and different scriptures of Isaiah the Holy Spirit was bringing to me to work with Craig on that. I didn't know his name. I didn't know anything. I just sat down, looked at him, and the Spirit said, that's the guy. And that's how these gifts work.
I can honestly say that I've never spoken in tongues, but I have sensed at times the power of the Holy Spirit come upon me, and sometimes I would describe it as a flutter that happens inside of me, and it's like God is giving me insight into something.
Exactly.
The best thing I can describe it, it feels like butterflies for me. Now, and I'm not saying that anybody else has to feel that way, because I don't know how it all works with everyone. I just know that it's been upon occasion, it's like, whoa, okay, pay attention, something's going to happen, or something needs to be said, or something. And it's just kind of like prepping you. But, you know, the issue is, it's not for us. It's not for our promotion of ourselves. It's not to prosper the church. It's to promote harmony and to help the entire church body when God gives us our gifts. And these gifts are to be used in humility.
Amen.
That's a tough thing to do, because when you get wrapped up in anything that's kind of special, you can get kind of sideways on that stuff, you know? It's easy to get a big head.
Yeah, I almost lost my marriage over the gifts, because I got, not only was I born again after I was married, I got baptized in the Holy Spirit, and I start moving on the gifts to the point of where I had told my wife at the time that she was not worthy to have my children.
Yeah, that went over real well, didn't
it? Obviously, the gift of wisdom was not working at that point.
But, I just got through. We had a brain tumor healing with Linda Moore in Wapakoneta, Ohio. That was January 13th, 1987. And besides all these other things with the Bob Evans Ministry, I felt things were just moving. And then finally, I was trying to repair my marriage. We had someone that had, I was to reveal some things to my wife, and I did, and she was amazed. And then we started to work back on our relationship and things. Obviously today I've got grandkids, and been married to her since only one marriage. Sister.
Still on your first wife, huh?
No, but she is my first wife and only wife. So
got off of 75.
Third marriages. At least I never had to do any of that. I ended up staying with her, and she stayed with me, thank God. Ever since then, you know, she saved, and everything's moved on. And that's how we end up at Kensington, because she could not. She has a hard time with tongues and the operation of gifts. She knows that she's seen it in me, but that's where we ended up, was the happy medium at Kensington. But what happens is, when you're running gifts, you lose sight of the goal. It's not about the person. It's always to edify the church and people. Yeah. I'm just a vessel. I'm unworthy to do any of it. Only if the Lord uses it for his ministry, his glory. Nothing about the person.
All right. Well, let's keep going, or we'll not get any further than where we are. And I bet some of you would like to get a little further. So, there are gifts listed in Rome, in as I mentioned, Romans 12, Ephesians 4, 1 Corinthians 12. If you combine all those lists, as I've mentioned before, you find that some are mentioned in each list, some are not. But there are at least 19 different gifts that are listed and offices that are listed. But again, they're not all identical. And I don't think that Paul is trying to exhaust the subject in any of those three passages. He's just explaining what's necessary in each of those passages for that particular group of people. So I don't think that God is limited to these lists. And I think he can give other gifts as he sees fit. And again, if Keith was here, we would know that satire is one of the gifts we believe that's a very strong gift in some of us. So we know that apostles are here. We know that prophets are mentioned. Get my notes to move here. One of the things about prophets is that 1 Corinthians 14, which we're not there yet, but we will get there eventually, says that when two or three prophets should speak, the others should weigh carefully what is said. In other words, what? Figure out if what they're saying is biblical. If it matches the Bible, you're good to go. If it contradicts the Bible, then that's not going to be a true prophecy. Okay? If it adds to the Word of God, well, then that's another issue that we'll talk about someday, but maybe not today. Again, prophecy can reveal information for the future, but most prophecy is just the forthtelling of God's word. 1 Thessalonians talks about this. He says, do not put out the Spirit's fire. Do not treat prophecies with contempt. Test everything. Hold on to what is good. So we know that that's important. We know that according to Ephesians, apostles and prophets work together to lay the foundation of the church. And that Jesus himself is the chief cornerstone. We know that teachers are also pastors slash teachers or hyphen teachers, instruct converts into doctrinal truths. We'll get into this a little more as we get into further into chapter 12, but just to give you a taste of this, think of it, the idea of the apostles are someone who are commissioned to do something. Think of them as maybe some of the.
Honey, what time am I taking you? Like 8:15?
8:05.
Okay.
8:10, 8:05.
So okay. That's important that we understand that. Prophets are people who spread the good news. They could also be considered almost like a teacher as well, but they will often move from place to place, giving information, helping to establish churches, and eventually you need a teacher or pastor teacher to help develop doctrine further than what you have in the other cases. So it goes on. James talks about this. Not many of you should presume to be teachers, my brothers, because you know that with teaching you will be judged more strictly. It ain't fun. I told Renewal recently, don't desire to be a teacher unless God calls you to that. It's one thing to teach, but it's if God calls you to be a teacher, then teach with all your heart. But if God doesn't call you to do that, be careful, because again, you're judged more strictly. Talk about evangelists. Evangelists are people who share the good news, especially with salvation of the lost. We're told, all of us are told to do the work of evangelists in 2 Timothy 4, verse 5, and all of us are told to seek to win souls. But again, some people have been given special calling to be evangelists. In the early church, it would seem that miracles were the credentials that were given to the prophets and to early church leaders, apostles, etc., as a way of presenting, okay, here's my credentials, here's my, you know, where's your license? What authority do you have to do this? Think of Hebrews chapter 2, verses 1 through 4, where it says, we must pay careful attention, therefore, to what we have heard, so that we do not drift away. For if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience receives its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? This salvation, which was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles, and the gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. So we know that, in fact, that miracles and healings and tongues all belong to what theologians call as sign gifts. And the question is, are those still available today? And there are, again, that's where we get into big disagreements. And if I can get into the rest of chapter 12, which probably won't be until next week, we'll be able to, I have some thoughts as to how to wrap this up about those that are believe in sign gifts still and those that don't believe in sign gifts and how we can live together in harmony. If we could, that would be an amazing thing. We'd probably see God bless us in all kinds of ways. There are other things like helps and governments, which have to do with serving others and guiding the church, etc. We talked about ruling. We talked about speaking gifts, tongues, and interpretation of tongues, which we talked about earlier today. The word of wisdom, the word of knowledge. This is the ability to understand and apply God's truth in certain situations. Exhortation is one of those gifts too, you know, encouragement, rebuke when necessary. All of us are told to exhort people, but some have a gift of that. We also have people that have the gift of giving, the gift of showing mercy, the gift of faith. Now, all of us have faith. We wouldn't have come to Christ if we didn't have faith, but some of us have the ability to have greater faith than others and use that for things. Discerning of spirits. I've often felt that my wife has the gift of discerning. I've found that every time I have not gone with her take on things, 99% of the time I find out that she's right. She reads people much better than I do. I think it's a gift that she has. I know that she'll go, oh, you know, you need to be careful about that one. They're gonna be a problem. Or I'm not sensing, you know, or I'm sensing that this person is a good person. And I'm going, you know, I don't see that at all. And then I find out later, well, I guess you were right. It's just the way, apparently, she's a much better discerner than I am. The Spirit also uses the written word to give us discernment. Listen to what it says in 1 John. There's two passages in 1 John. 1 John 2, 18 through 24. It says, dear children, this is the last hour. And as you've heard that the Antichrist is coming, even now many Antichrists have come. This is how we know it is the last hour. They went out from us, but they did not really belong to us. For if they belonged to us, they would have remained with us. But their going showed that none of them belonged to us. But you have an anointing from the Holy One, and all of you know the truth. I do not write to you because you do not know the truth, but because you do know it, and because no lie comes from the truth. That's important. No lie comes from the truth. Who is a liar? It is the man who denies that Jesus is the Christ. Such a man is an antichrist. He denies the Father and the Son. No one who denies the Son has the Father. Whoever acknowledges the Son has the Father also. See that you have heard from the beginning remains in you. If it does, you also will remain in the Son and in the Father. And jumping down to 1 John 4, verses 1 through 6 says, dear friends, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits to see whether they are from God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. That's, remember, we talked about when two or three prophets are prophesied, verify what they're saying. Is it scriptural? Does it meet the criteria that scripture sets down? This is how you can recognize the Spirit of God. Every spirit that acknowledges that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is from God. But every spirit that does not acknowledge Jesus is not from God. This is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard is coming and even now is already in the world. You, dear children, are from God and have overcome them, because the one who is in you is greater than the one who is in the world. They are from the world and therefore speak from the viewpoint of the world, and the world listens to them. We are from God, and whoever knows God listens to us, but whoever is not from God does not listen to us. This is how we recognize the spirit of truth and the spirit of falsehood. You ever notice that people who are from the world often do not want to listen to the truth of the word of God?
Mm-hmm.
Ever wonder why? Well, we just found out why. They're not from God. The Holy Spirit has to draw people to the saving knowledge of Christ. And we wonder sometimes why we speak the truth and we feel like we're talking into the void. There's a reason for that. So that's one of the things we deal with. Second Peter 2 also says this, but there are also false prophets among the people, just as there will be false teachers among you. They will secretly introduce destructive heresies, even denying the sovereign Lord who has bought them, bringing swift destruction on themselves. So, all right, we can, again, different scholars have different ways of divvying up the gifts. Some say they are speaking gifts, some say they are sign gifts, some say they are serving gifts. Don't be fascinated by the individual gifts. Because remember, what's the main reason that gifts were given? What was that, Klaus? I didn't hear it.
The edification.
Edification of the church. Yeah. So the main reason I think that Paul lists them is to remind us that we are united. They unite us in our ministries to one body. The Holy Spirit, again, bestows these gifts as he wills, not as we will. By the way, we're going to find out a little later that we're told to pray for the greater gifts, and we'll have to talk about what are the greater gifts and what aren't. But and we might not all agree on that, and that's okay. When we get to heaven, we'll figure it out. But in the meantime, we're told to pray for them. We might not get the gift that we want. Now remember, who chooses that the gifts we get?
Not you.
Yeah, we don't get to choose them, do we? God chooses them.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That's one of the things we have to remember, okay? So no Christian should really complain, I only got the gift of giving. Man, I wish I had the gift of giving, which means I also probably had the gift of making lots of money too, which I don't have. But we don't complain about our gifts. Don't boast about our gifts. We're all members of the body, and all of us minister to each other. And one of the things that we're told, and it would appear that because these gifts are listed in three different passages, and they're not all the same in all those passages, what I can say to you is that I believe, and you can disagree with me, that's okay, but I believe that not all of the gifts are going to be active in every church. What I do believe is that every gift that is necessary for that church will be active in that church. Notice the difference?
Yes.
You are correct.
Yeah, thank you.
Well said.
So it's important that we understand that. And sometimes there are gifts that are given that we don't like that they were given to us as a church. We'll get into that a little more as we get a little further into chapter 12 here. We start complaining about the gift that, why do I need that eye? I don't need that eyeball. You know, I'm a hand. I don't need, or why do I need a nose? Or why do I need an ear? Mm. it's important that when we understand that when God gives us a gift, there's a reason why he gives it to us. We need to, as a church, embrace the gift. Now, all right, let's keep, you know, I have 20 pages of information just on these 11 verses. You realize that? We're on page 10. I have to cut some of this, I think.
So let me ask a question really quick.
I will let you ask it.
You know, I, growing up Baptist, you know, I know. I see things from two different perspectives now. You know, like, I had all the teaching and everything growing up that, hey, like, these gifts have ceased, these gifts are ceased. And now looking at it from a different perspective, I can say, who cares what people's opinions are? At the end of the day, if the gospel message is being shared and people are coming to Christ and people understand what the gospel means and what salvation through grace, faith, salvation through grace by our faith gets you to heaven, and it gets you in a relationship with Jesus Christ, and people are growing and people are coming, coming to Jesus. Why are we so like strong against other people that may have different spiritual gifts to say, hey, listen, I don't want any part of that. I don't want to validate that. I just don't, I mean, the bigger picture is salvation.
Yeah, I think there's two sides of it. And I think that there have been people on both sides that have harmed our unity as believers. On one side, you have some people that are so adamant about the gifts being ceased, or at least some of the gifts being ceased, that they see anybody that practices those gifts as either a deceiver or an unbeliever. On the other side, you have some people that practice all of the gifts have said, unless you have this particular gift, then you can't be a Christian. And so there's been a war over, you know, over what's important and what isn't important. What is important is that God gives gifts. What is important is that God chooses to do what he chooses to do, and we'll sort it out when we get to heaven. We don't have to be 100% right. We just have to be 100% committed to Christ. And right. If we did that, we would have a lot more grace in the areas where people disagree with us, unless it was something that's very specific in Scripture. As an example, right. If you deny the deity of Christ, you got a problem. If you say that the Bible only contains the Word of God, you have a problem. That's not Orthodox Christianity.
Yeah.
If you deny the virgin birth, if you deny the resurrection, if you know those basic tenets become the most important thing. But when we start to snipe at each other, you know, John MacArthur wrote a book that I read as a young man, and I thought, wow. Okay, he really destroys, or tries to destroy, charismatics, just, you know, heaping all kinds of abuse on them. And then, you know, I read some of the things that some of the charismatics said. I go, man, that just seems way out there. And then you reach some charismatic and Pentecostal men and women who have a really balanced approach. And then you meet some non-charismatic people have some really balanced approaches to this, and you're going, well, praise the Lord, there is a middle ground that we can agree, and even if we don't fully agree on all of the things about the gifts, okay, we'll get it sorted out when we get to heaven. Let's just figure out, how do we get the most people into the kingdom of God? How do we advance the kingdom of God? And how do we not destroy each other in the process? That would be my take. I don't know, Dan. Yeah. You want to talk? You want to add anything to that?
No, I. Well said. That's why the gifts, the way they work, is only to edify the church. Whoever you're working with, they are not. you're not to build a ministry on them. That's wrong. And I know there's Pentecostal people that have done that. And just because, you know, the Holy Spirit had used them a certain time, that doesn't mean they're always right. They can be going down the wrong path with where they're at.
Just like a non-charismatic person can go down the wrong path as well. It's a matter of, you know, are we willing to humble ourselves before God and before others and realize that God might be doing something. Remember Jesus, the disciples come to Jesus and go, you know, the Lord, there's somebody over there and they're seeing things in your name and they're performing miracles in your name. And we don't know who they are. And Jesus says, if they're not for us, if they're not against us, they're for us. Let them be.
Yeah. Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Tom, I don't think we should be surprised at, like, as you described as sniping, because you look at what organized religions do to each other.
Yeah.
That all profess to believe in Christ and the resurrection and the grace we all receive, not because of anything that we deserve or that we've earned, but you look at the differences in the organized religions and how they, you know, snipe at each other. And,
oh, yeah. I'm hearing you.
Yeah.
I think the danger comes, you know, just examining myself. You know, it used to be growing up, it was like, hey, my preference is my spiritual stature, which is wrong, you know, from a standpoint to say, hey, listen, I have this spiritual preference and that makes me, you know, in a better standing with Jesus in the end than somebody with a different preference. If we go back to scripture like you have and you go through it all, you can see, you know, everybody has different spiritual gifts that have been given from God. And the moment that we look at ourselves and we look at, oh man, I got this spiritual gift, that one, I don't even know if it's real, so I must be in a better standing with Jesus. That's the wrong mentality to have. It's completely opposite. So I think, good, you know, like you're saying, you have to have, if God gives you a gift, you do it in humility. We're all human. We mess up. We, you know, we take glory when God should get the glory. But in the end, if God gives you a gift and it's edifying the church and you're lifting others up, you're encouraging them, you're progressing the gospel, I think that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree.
May I say something?
You may say something.
I agree with what we have said. I minister in a country where there is 95% ignorance about most of everything that we just talked about. Mm-hmm. Just yesterday, I was talking with Pino that Val knows, from Castelvetrano in North Italy. He invited somebody from church home for supper, a couple. Then there was his unbeliever family with Pino also, minus Caterina, that she just accepted the Lord, or prayed to accept the Lord a couple of weeks ago. And this gentleman, this brother, asked him if he had the second baptism of the Holy Spirit. So, I don't see in the Bible where it says that there is the second baptism, because that's the way they call it, all in the charismatic movement. And Pino is confused a little bit. Well, it's understandable. He's young in the faith. Then in Catania, they started a school of fire, you know, called the school of fire, like the fire in the mm-hmm. in the Bible. And so, and there's the training of people in, I don't know, in gaining these gifts rather than being a gift. It's like, okay, I need to be trained in doing something that I don't have.
Mm.
So the ignorance to me, and by the way, these groups, they come from either Canada or the USA to teach the people over there. And like Mal knows, we approach somebody and it bluntly, it's only King James Version. Yeah. And it, you don't agree with us. We don't agree with you, so please don't talk to us.
Don't come and share with us, because it just cracked me up. The guy's a King James only, but he's dealing with people in Italy.
Remember, this guy is an American telling
me. Oh my goodness.
So that's fine. Okay.
It's unfortunate that it comes that. It's unfortunate.
Right.
I think a lot of it comes back to a matter of pride. God's given us something, and now we're going to be, we're better than everyone else. And instead of realizing that God gave it to us, we had nothing to do with it. If it happens, it happens because, what happens in our ministry happens because of God.
Amen.
Sometimes it happens in spite of us. There have been times I've done things in ministry and I'm going, and I kind of backed into it. I didn't want to go there. I kept getting led backward,
Yeah.
And Dan, take care, man.
Well, Thursday will be fun.
Thursday is good. You know what? I'm gonna cut the recording right now.
Good.
Yeah. What I was saying or were thinking is that, we're talking about the spiritual gift.